3 years, 565 episodes, 222,000 downloads. This is the Cowboy State Politics season finale extravaganza. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special season finale installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. I look forward to this episode each and every year. It's a chance to take a look back and see where we were a year ago. Take stock of the progress that the program has made. Cowboy State Politics is unquestionably unsurpassed in Wyoming political media. In 3 years, there have been 565 episodes of Cowboy State Politics, 222,000 downloads in 53 different countries. I hadn't quite realized it till I looked at that last statistic, but this program has been spreading the message of conservatism across the globe for the last 3 years. I think that calls for a little celebration. Wait a minute. I'm not quite done yet.
That's great. That's what I'm gonna stop.
It's absolutely true, my friends. What started out 3 years ago on December 3rd as me trying to give myself something to do has turned into my own little media empire. And I did it all without any help from anyone in the Wyoming media. Now, it is true that some of the guests that have been on Cowboy State Politics have required some connections to get to them. But the fact remains, and I'm very, very proud of this, that Cowboy State Politics stands on its own 2 feet without the assistance from anyone else. We've had some amazing guests on the program. Chad Prather, Riley Gaines, Jennifer Say, David Bossie, James O'Keefe, Representative Harriet Hageman has been on the program numerous times. Honestly, when you look at it, it's a pretty long and distinguished list. Significantly less distinguished than that list are the people that lack the courage to come on this program and defend their positions. A lot of these politicians in Wyoming are so used to the media fawning over them that when they face any sort of opposition, they just absolutely refuse to defend any of their ideas. I can't tell you how many invitations I've sent out to all of these redcoats to come on the program and defend their ideas, and how many of them have decided that they just don't want to do that. Some of them have tried to put conditions on an interview. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And others just refuse to respond. And they're probably just a little scared. But for example, it has been 1,045 days since Wyoming Representative Landon Brown agreed to an interview on Cowboy State Politics and then just didn't show up. Or drag show Clark Stith. He's the guy that donated to this outfit called Drag for a Cause in Rock Springs and then claimed he was donating to the baseball team or something. He's also one of the authors of the latest op-ed in the Cowpie entitled A Conservative Commitment. Yeah, Well, anyway, I invited him to come on the program after that whole little incident, and he at first agreed and then tried to put conditions on the interview. After I replied and told him that wasn't going to happen, radio silence. It's been 129 days since Representative Clark Stith agreed to an interview and tried to put conditions on it. Talk about real conservative courage there. And the truth is, I have repeatedly said that if any of these redcoats want to come on Cowboy State Politics, there is an open invitation to do it. But you'll notice, none of them have because they can't defend their positions. They absolutely lack the courage of their convictions. And it's not all that difficult to understand why. They've made a career out of telling people that they're conservative, and then they go down to Cheyenne, and they vote with the Democrats an average of 85% of the time. And those are just the numbers. That's just the way that they vote. That's not a commentary on their political convictions. That's just the numbers of how often they vote with the Democrats. And I think that we can all agree that if you're siding with one particular political ideology the vast majority of the time, then that is your ideology. And all of them try absolutely as hard as they can to get as far away from the truth as humanly possible. Take, for example, the very first line of the most recent op-ed in the Cowpie. And I quote, "As Wyoming conservatives, there are certain beliefs that define us," end quote. I absolutely agree. There are definitely certain beliefs that define an individual as a conservative. But the problem is, that line was written by Representative Barry Crago and drag show Clark Stith. Barry Crago, in the 2023 legislative session, sided with Democrat Minority Floor Leader Mike Yin 75.6% of the time. Of the 1,064 votes that they shared, they voted the exact same way 805 times. Over 800 times. How in any way possible could you explain that that behavior is representative of a conservative? You can't, because that behavior is representative of a Democrat. And no one in their right mind is ever going to claim that a Democrat is actually conservative. And what about drag show Clark? He's even more of a Democrat than his pal Crago. Of the 1,913 votes that he and Mike Yin shared, they voted together 1,498 times. In other words, Clark Stith agreed with the Democrat minority floor leader 78.3% of the time. In other words, both of them are over three quarters Democrat. Now, none of those numbers are judgmental in any way. None of them have to do anything with political ideology, and the only thing that they're representative of is how they voted. That's exactly the results that they themselves created. Another question is, what exactly are some of the defining characteristics of being a conservative? Well, the first one that should come to everybody's mind is they don't like spending money that we don't have to. And you would definitely want to avoid creating permanent spending. In the 2023 legislative session, our senators and representatives created around $124 million in new permanent spending. To understand the real significance of this, you have to have a handle of how exactly our legislature works. Wyoming budgets on a biennial basis. In other words, each budget is for 2 years, not 1 year. And in the 2023 legislative session, the governor requested a supplemental budget, or that is, spending in addition to the spending that was already approved of in the previous budget session. In other words, all state services had already been funded in the previous session. All of that funding was approved before everybody walked through those Capitol doors down in Cheyenne. So everything that came out of the 2023 legislative session was additional spending, spending that we didn't have to do because everything else had already been funded. So how did conservative Barry Crago and Clark Stith vote on all of those bills? Barry Crago voted for every single significant spending item in the 2023 legislative session. There wasn't one thing that his so-called conservative scruples said maybe we don't need. He voted for all of it. And how did conservative Clark Stith vote in all of that? This might come as a giant surprise to both Clark Stith and everybody else that's listening to this broadcast. He voted better than Barry Crago did. There was exactly one spending bill that Clark Stith didn't vote for. These two guys can't even abide by one of the most defining characteristics of being a conservative, not recklessly spending other people's money. And here's the perplexingly bizarre part of all of this. Barry Crago, Clark Stith, Albert Sommers, Steve Harshman, all of these people who claim to be a conservative claim that if you didn't vote for the supplemental budget, then you are not a conservative. The very same supplemental budget that created over $120 million in permanent new spending in addition to the budget that was passed the previous session. Need I remind them of this?
Higher and higher taxes on small businesses, on family farms, and on every working family, so that government may once again grow at the people's expense. You know, we could say they spend like drunken sailors. But that would be unfair to drunken sailors, because the sailors are spending their own money.
And then there's this one.
Will Rogers once said he never met a man he didn't like. Well, if I could paraphrase Will, our friends in the other party have never met a tax they didn't like. They didn't like or hike.
Ah, yes, the great Ronald Reagan, Ronaldus Magnus, the bar by which all conservatives measure themselves. Have you ever heard a conservative talk like this?
So what's happened in these states that have done caps? And some of them are wealthy states, but really, who's benefited? The rich are going to benefit the most. They're going to benefit the most.
There we go. Conservative tax cuts for the rich, Steve Harshman. Or what about this?
So I definitely believe that we need new taxes. We need to broaden the tax base in a way that becomes more sustainable for the Wyoming that we're going to have in the future.
Of course, that last soundbite was from Nancy Case. You can't have a season finale of Cowboy State Politics without having a soundbite from our good pal Nancy. Okay, I'll play the classic one for you. Here it is.
This is a good deal for Wyoming. It could be a good deal. We can't even start to figure it out until we pass this bill.
Yeah. Conservative Nancy Case was talking about Medicaid expansion there, which sounds a heck of a lot like this one.
It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very exciting. Fun times, I know. But you have never heard an actual conservative talk like that, have you? Nobody has ever heard a real conservative be in favor of new taxes or claiming that tax cuts only help the rich. And yet, these people in Wyoming who claim to be conservative do so repeatedly. Except, of course, when it's election time. But all of these people, Barry Crago, Clark Stith, Steve Harshman, Nancy Case, Cyrus Western, if their votes don't match what they're saying, then they're not a conservative. They are lying to you. Now, I could go down the list and tell you who all these people are that claim to be conservative but really aren't, and they spend way too much of your money and vote for things that you would never even dream of voting for, but I don't have to. There are all sorts of organizations that rate all of these legislators, that compare what they say to how they vote, and then tell you the results. The most prominent of all of these rating sites in the entire country is CPAC. Now, the guys that did all of the research for 10 years at CPAC on all of these legislators formed their own little group called the Institute for Legislative Analysis. It's the most recent ratings website and the one that currently has all of the redcoats' panties in a bunch, because it clearly shows that a whole bunch of them are the furthest thing from a conservative. They rate everybody according to constitutional principles, how often that you're abiding by the United States Constitution. Same way that CPAC does it. And here's the hilarious part of it. In 2021, they gave Crickets Cheney, that's right, Liz Cheney, a 66%. You want to know what Barry Crago and Clark Stith scored? Barry Crago scored a 44%, and Clark Stith got a whopping 37%. They're not even as conservative as Liz Cheney. Wow! Hang that one on your mantle, Barry. It's Christmas time. You could put it right near the stockings. Anyway, to explain this new ratings website, I caught up with the CEO of the Institute for Legislative Analysis, Ryan McGowan. He worked for CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, for several years, and now he's working with the very researchers that rated all of the legislators for the last decade at the Institute for Legislative Analysis. And we'll talk to him next, but first, an absolutely obscene season finale profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics has always been brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or maybe even a giant warehouse, then the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. If you have Morton Buildings do your work for you, you'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One of the cool things that they do is they set concrete pillars and then a steel I-beam inside them. So there is no way that water is going to get into your foundation and ruin your building. That's the guarantee that Morton Buildings gives you. To talk to these guys, give them a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. It is Saturday morning, and I am working up an appetite, my friends. Every Saturday morning, the first thing that pops into my head is hot wings, strange though it may seem. And the best wings in the state of Wyoming are from the Wing It food truck. And it's not just hot wings. They have several other different flavors. One of my favorites is the sweet habanero hot wing. Yummy. Now, the way that you can figure out where that truck is going to be is go to their Facebook page, the Wing It Food Truck, and they post their weekly schedule there. That way, you can plan your entire week around where that truck is going to be. That's the Wing It Food Truck. One of the things that you're probably not thinking about this Christmas season is camping. But I'm telling you, you probably should. Now is a perfect time to get the camper in tip-top shape, and the people to do it are Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. One of the cool things about this little company is if it is an extraordinary inconvenience for you to haul your camper all the way to Worland, they'll travel to you and fix your camper on site. That's what I said, mobile camper repair. If you didn't know it, there aren't that many people in the state of Wyoming that work on campers, and Tim and Tammy Young do a fantastic job doing it. They also offer camper storage, so if you need your camper worked on or if you just need a place to stash it over the winter, give Young's Camper Repair a call. Their phone number is 307-431-8110, or you can send them an email. The address is youngscamperrepair@gmail.com. Give them a call. And now, back to exposing the Redcoats for who they really are. Okay. So I had a chance to sit down with Ryan McGowan, the CEO of the Institute for Legislative Analysis. Here's our conversation. I'm joined on the program today by Ryan McGowan. Ryan is the CEO for the Institute for Legislative Analysis. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. It's great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. So I guess we'll start the same place I start with every interview, is just have you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the ILA.
Yeah, of course. So myself, you know, I have an entrepreneurial background, finance. I was the CFO at ACU for the past, 7 years. And then there is where I met the ratings team. And I really started to fall in love with the policy and the politics behind and the data of what they were uncovering and all their research at the federal and state level. And I always thought we could do more with it. So that's when, we decided to separate, create our own organization, the Institute for Legislative Analysis, with the thought of expanding our research, but not only expanding it, really driving home the marketing effort and making sure this information gets distributed, because we came to the reality, and like we talked about a little bit before I came on here, there's a lot of groups that do scorecards, but but a lot of people don't even know they exist. So what's the point of putting in this countless, the months and hours of research if no one knows about it, right? So that's really what we focus on here at ILA, not just the intensive research, but how do we make sure this information gets distributed? How do we make sure the messaging is concise and understandable for the everyday American? And how do we affect change through the research we're doing? And that's the ultimate goal.
The other important thing is when all these politicians knock on your door, at least in Wyoming, the very first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I'm a conservative. And they follow it up with, I love my guns, abortion's bad, the government spends too much, and you should vote for me. And because most people are pretty conservative in Wyoming, we wouldn't live here if we weren't. I mean, put up with 9 months of snow throughout the year. Got to be a reason. When people tell us, yeah, I'm a conservative, then we just vote for them. And so I think rating systems like yours are helpful. And actually, when yours went public, it sort of created a pretty big stir with a lot of the rhinos in this state. In fact, they kind of freaked out a little bit. So what exactly does the ILA do? I mean, how do you go about rating whether somebody's a constitutional conservative or that they're just a straight up Democrat who can't spell?
Right. Well, you know, we measure each lawmaker on their adherence to the limited government principles of the U.S. Constitution. And the way our system is set up, our team waits till the legislative session ends. They dive into the legislative journals. They review every single bill. And we have 10 distinct categories that makes it more well-rounded, where we kind of analyze the full spectrum of policy issues to really get an idea of not only where these lawmakers stand overall in their either adherence to the limited government principles of the Constitution, or are they more of a big government, you know, having more power type of individual?
You rate legislators according to their adherence to constitutional principles. Seems pretty cut and dry. So what's the methodology? I mean, how do you arrive at this? Do you have a big group of researchers? Do you go through every roll call vote? How is it that you come to the scores that you do?
Yeah. So we have a team of five. It's a pretty small group, but we have a lot of experience on the team. These individuals have been doing this work, state legislative policy analysis for some individuals for over a decade. So that's really, you know, what benefits us and gives us the ability to do this work and hopefully get to all 50 states at some point. But we take the research. So it takes about a couple of months. Once the legislative session ends, we dive into the legislative journals. We already kind of understand what we're looking for in terms of a sampling and a distribution, because a scorecard honestly is only as good as the bill evaluation, the sampling, and the research behind it. And that's what we pride ourselves on. We have a lot of experience and experts, like I said, in state legislative policy analysis. So we rely heavily on them and their experience to do the bill sampling.
So what'd you find out in your research into Wyoming?
Well, we found out that Wyoming is not as conservative as we, you know, expected it to be, I think. And it wasn't shocking. We see this in a lot of other states as well. But what we did see, and I'll just kind of run through on the Senate side, there were 12 Republicans that scored below 50%. That means 12 Republicans are more aligned with Democrats in terms of how they vote. There were 8 Republicans between 50 and 79%, and there were only 9 that scored above an 80%. You know, 80% is that marker we use to give awards, because we think if you're above 80%, you're a solid conservative. You have these limited government principles, and nobody's perfect, right? No one's ever going to get 100% all the time. I mean, maybe there are some instances of that, but because our sampling is so in depth, you know, we scored, I believe, almost 50 bills. Not every lawmaker votes on every bill, but I think the average is about 47 votes each. So these lawmakers can't go and complain and say we're cherry picking votes. I mean, this is a pretty in-depth sample that we use for our research. So, and it's across all policy fields. It's not like we're just focusing on Second Amendment or we're focusing on energy environment. We're focusing on everything. And we're really trying to show the people and give them this information so they have a better understanding of who they're voting for.
Yeah. And the results are even more striking when you look at the House of Representatives. I mean, in there, by my numbers, and you can correct me if you guys found a different result, by my numbers, you've got about 26 people that are pretty conservative most of the time. And there's 31 Republicans that, and there's, like I mentioned before the interview, there's There's a number of ratings websites in Wyoming, and all of them pretty much come up with the same result. And by my numbers, those 31 Republicans, they vote with the Democrats an average of 85% of the time. In my mind, man, if it acts like a Democrat and walks like a Democrat and smells like a Democrat, it's a Democrat.
Absolutely. You know, to your point earlier, I think they've realized, particularly at the state level where there isn't as much, I guess, media attention, while there are a lot of scorecards out there, again, the biggest problem is getting this information to the people, you know, and quite frankly, looking through a very intensive scorecard like we put together, we understand that the average attention span of an individual is probably like 12 seconds. So it's just a lot of information to digest at one time. But yeah, I mean, look, they're going to run and say all the right things they need to say on the campaign trail. And it looks like in Wyoming, they're not backing it up with their votes. I mean, with 31 Republicans below a 50%, that's a large number. I mean, that's more than the Republicans above a 50%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. Yeah. Now, a couple of objections to your ratings, and these are kind of like the knee-jerk, stereotypic reactions that a lot of the rhinos have. But I want to just hit you with a couple of them and just see what your reaction is. The first one, and it's entirely predictable, is that, well, this is just a nameless, faceless national group, and they won't tell people who they are, and so you shouldn't pay any attention to their results.
I haven't heard that one. I know we're fairly new, but again, all these state lawmakers should know our work from the ACU. It is the same team that did the work there for almost a decade. In terms of no name recognition, hell, we're trying our best to get our name out there. That's the goal, right? I mean, we're really a lot of people on our team are volunteering their time. You know, we're trying to build this from the ground up, create. We did this for a reason. At ACU, I realized how much of an opportunity there was and how much of a void in terms of transparency there was that's out there, and how we could sort of help fix that. Being in this nonprofit field for the last, you know, 7+ years, you see how a lot of these groups operate, and, you know, a lot of people have events, they say all the right things, but for whatever reason, it's not driving the point home to the constituents. And we think the best way to do that is through a scorecard like the one we produce at ILA. So to those lawmakers that have those criticisms, I'll just say, hey, you know, you're open to your opinion, but we'll be back next year and the year after that, and the year after that, and we're not going away anytime soon. So I guess, you know, you better get used to us.
I completely agree. One of the biggest problems in Wyoming is we're the state that has the least amount of people that live in it. So there's not a lot of media attention focused on the politics that happen in the state. And it's only when something big happens in Wyoming do you get any real significant attention on some of the major media outlets. Secondly, there isn't a lot of scrutiny on the people that run the state government, which is, in my opinion, that's why you get a lot of these people that really are not conservatives. They're able to, for lack of a better term, swindle their constituents into voting for them. From your analysis, and I know that you don't probably have the exact numbers, how would you say the state ranks as compared to other Western states, Montana, Idaho, South Dakota? Where are our legislators in those? Did you look at any of those numbers?
We have not yet gotten to Montana, Idaho. We're in the process of researching Idaho now, so I'll have that information for you probably in the next week. If you want to revisit that, I can tell you Wyoming's better than California.
Well, I would hope so.
That's not saying much, but it's something. Look, Wyoming has some work to do. And I think there's a lot of great people in Wyoming. I think they are very conservative at heart. And I think they just don't know, you know, they feel like they're going to the voting booth, they're voting for the Republicans, they're doing their job, and they're being swindled in a lot of ways and lied to on, you know, these lawmakers are misrepresenting what their values really are and what their intentions are. And they know they're trained politicians. They know what to say to get elected. And now our job as an organization is to hold them accountable. And we can only do so much. You know, that's why, you know, the people in Wyoming, you go to limitedgov.org when we release our ratings for Wyoming, share the information out. Follow us. You know, this is only going to put more pressure on the lawmakers when they know this information is out there and people can see it, particularly the people in the state of Wyoming.
One fascinating result of your releasing your ratings for Wyoming, the Rhinos came up with their own rating system. And it's hilarious because I'll send you the link to it. Their results are they cherry picked 10 bills, and it was all the bills that might be considered in sort of a way to be sort of conservative. And the results were exactly the opposite of what you guys came up with. I mean, it was a transparent attempt to say, hey, look, we're the real conservatives. And I think the problem is, like you said, that most people don't know about these folks. And they're told one thing, and then they vote for the Republican, and then they're just shocked that things go the way that they do in Cheyenne.
Right. Well, you know, that's also why we are a platform. And we realized that there are a lot of other scorecards out there as well. And that's why our goal was to not only do the research and release it from ILA's brand, but also let other nonprofits, other C4s, activist groups, the grassroots activists in the states, create their own scorecards through our research. Because the way we're going to go about this and the way we're going to affect change is if we have a lot of scorecards reinforcing one another, right? Saying the same thing, essentially. They're not all going to be exactly the same, but, you know, they're going to reinforce each other, and they're going to kind of drown out that noise from, you know, the Rhino scorecard you just brought up, or other scorecards where they cherry pick votes just to make them seem like they're better than they really are.
Yeah, the scorecard I was referring to, they call themselves the Conservative Accountability Project.
Ah, of course, yes. Like the Inflation Reduction Act. That's
exactly what it is, man. If people want to find out more information about the ILA, where do they go?
So you go to limitedgov.org. That is our domain. That's our website. You could follow us on Facebook as well and other social media platforms. I think we have Instagram, X, or Twitter.
Whatever it is.
Whatever they want to call it these days. And our handle is at LEG Analysis. So please give us a follow. We're coming out with state research on a weekly basis now. And moving into 2024, we're trying to get as many of these states wrapped up for the 2023 session so that information can be utilized for these upcoming elections and people can get that information and have a better understanding of, you know, the lawmakers they're voting for. So yeah, limitedgov.org, check us out. We need as much help as we can get. You know, it's like I said before, we'll do the research, we'll put this information out, but we really need to rely on the true conservatives in the states like Wyoming and other states to push this information out as well. Share when we share our posts so that more people get this information and they can really understand what's happening in their state and understand who it is that they're voting for.
One last question. As you've done a lot of different research on different states, and this is probably just a softball, but is it any wonder why things work the way that they have in Washington, D.C.? I mean, we just got a new speaker who was allegedly a conservative, and it's turning out that he's doing exactly the same thing. I mean, is it any shocker to you why Washington, D.C. works the way that it does now that you've looked at all these other states?
No, it's not shocking. And quite frankly, that's why we put a lot of emphasis. We do, you know, release reports on the federal level, but we're really honing in on the states because we feel like that's where we can have the most impact. At this point, the federal level, you know, it's Hollywood at this point. There's too much going on. And in reference to Speaker Johnson, you know, he actually scored really well. He got a Defender of Limited Government Award from us. And look, we realize that speakers are in a tougher position. They don't have as much flexibility, I guess I'd say. You know, they got to work with all sides of their party. But based on our state research, we see that, you know, speakers in Pennsylvania, for example, they got awards, they got over an 80, yet the speaker in Wyoming, Rep Summers, he got a 41%, I think.
Yeah,
so
he's terrible.
More along with the Democrats, you know, so it's not impossible. You know, I just think DC at this point, it's a crapshoot. You know, there's just, they don't focus on the business at hand and what's best for the American people. It seems, I know they say all the right things, but we got to start getting to work. And I know there was a lot of, and I'm probably rambling on here, but, you know, the whole Matt Gaetz situation and all the chaos with getting out McCarthy and then finding another speaker. And it's just the constant drama needs to stop. And we need to start focusing on what's best for the American people and stop thinking about what's best for us as politicians and how we get reelected and how we get more media time and what things we need to say to get, you know, it's like, we're not focusing on the right things. Well, Liz Cheney, hey, she got a 66% from us in our 2022 report. So she still scored better than Summers.
Fair enough.
You know, so.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me. People want to get a hold of you. How do they do that?
People want to get a hold of it? Yeah, just send us an email, info@limitedgov.org. We're always watching the email box. We're good at responding to our supporters that have questions on anything. Really, please feel free to reach out to us. Reach out to us on social media. We're always available. Sign up for our newsletter, too. That's way you can always get access to the information that we're releasing on a weekly basis or daily basis. And we'll always keep you updated on what's coming down the pike and what we're doing at ILA.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. And you have a good afternoon, sir.
All right. Thank you, David.
That'll do it for today's installment of Weekend Update and this season finale extravaganza. Make sure that you subscribe and follow the program. That way you can be notified of any new episodes of Cowboy State Politics. Also, don't forget about the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. That's actually the easiest way to listen to the program, but you can listen to it anywhere that you get your podcasts. Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, any of them will work. But for now, thank you for listening to Cowboy State Politics for yet another incredible season. I'll see you on Monday for episode 1 of season 4 from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.